during a pandemic like ours, the stress level in general just kind of rises like the sea. It lifts all boats equally, or fairly equally anyway. Point is, most of us are a bit more stressed than we are usually. Therefore, some of the things that would not normally bother us in normal circumstances really do bother us during this time because our stress level's already raised high. There's kind of a tipping point to kind of going from annoyance to just out and out anger or even rage. We're all a bit closer to that tipping point than usual. And of course, in a family relationship or a couple's relationship, that gets pretty direct, that effect. And sometimes couples or families who get along pretty well under normal circumstances, or at least fairly well, when that sea rises of general stress, families or couples encounter that tipping point more frequently. It's kind of like under normal circumstances, if you're going through financial difficulties, it just kind of makes everything worse. Same thing with now. So today I'm talking with Linda Coates, who is a couples and family therapist. And we're going to get her on the phone right now and see what kind of words of wisdom she has for couples and families who may be going through a bit of a more difficult time than usual. So, Linda, I'd like to ask you about four basic things. One is just realizing that the sea of anxiety has risen for all of us, raising all boats. And so if you have any antidotes to that anxiety, I also want to ask you about parenting. Like if you have two parents who are fighting all the time, you just how a couple, or they may not even be a parent, just a couple who maybe, they under normal circumstances, they're basically okay, but this has just kind of raised mm-hmm. them over the tipping point. And then I'd also like to ask you about parents of teens, and if you've got teens who are just kind of going crazy. And then finally I want to ask you about community resources that may be available. So so what can you tell us about just general anxiety and stress? What kind of tools can we employ?
Yeah, well, I think everybody's anxiety is increased. And one antidote to anxiety is laughter. And because it is difficult physiologically for human beings to feel anxiety and laugh at the same time. So how do you bring laughter into your home? Well, you can watch funny movies. You can't go to theaters, but you can watch Netflix or whatever you have. Pick out funny movies. Mm-hmm. Playing games with your children, board games or puzzles that tend to make everybody laugh. And I would also do really silly things like put on music and see who can dance in the house in the silliest way. so just dance and be silly, throw your hands around, and maybe figure out who got the silliest. so that would be my suggestion there. In fact, I should ask you, isn't there a verse in Proverbs that says laughter is the best medicine?
Proverbs 17 talks about a merry or a cheerful heart is good medicine. I don't know where the laughter comes in, but it certainly makes a lot of sense to me. I'm reminded of a funeral I conducted not too long ago of a gentleman that he'd been married, the couple had been married for like 60 years. And every single day before he left for work, he got up first. He left a note he set up the coffee maker for his wife without hitting the button, but then he left a note on how to brew the coffee. And like every single day, some ridiculous little post-it note about basically how to get around to pushing that button.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. And the wife actually collected all those sticky notes over that all that time. So the kids were sorting through all just massive amounts of sticky notes.
Yeah. Mm. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Aside from laughter, are there any other ways that you would advocate for reducing tension, anxiety?
Yeah. You know, one other just excellent way is getting outside, walking, running, cycling, rollerblading, doing whatever you can do in terms of physical exercise. My husband had been going to a gym 4 or 5 days out of the week, and of course he can't do that anymore. We do have an old weight machine down in our basement, so he's been using that, and we walk together about 2.5 miles. We try to do that every day. And you know, if you do that kind of physical exercise, you're going to sleep better as well. Hmm. So exercise is just great for that.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I think that's one of the things. I mean, I'm not a CDC official, so I'm not giving medical advice or anything. But I do think that, you know, even in a quarantine situation, if, you know, gosh, if people can just get out and at least take a walk where they're not around people, and
yeah,
and I mean that fresh air and that just that healthful exercise makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we did that yesterday, and I noticed, well, there are a lot of people out walking their dogs and kids out on their bikes, and people were careful to observe that 6 feet of distance,
even
on the walk, so it was good.
So how about just couples? I mean, I know that from my own counseling experience as a minister that, like, for instance, when a couple has financial difficulties, oftentimes little rubs in the relationships, tend to get deeper because that kind of background financial anxiety just kind of raises the stress level, kind of putting them over the line when they may not have had that. And I'm sure that I would at least guess that the pandemic is having a similar effect, although a much more wider effect on people like that.
Yeah, I think so too.
How would you advocate with the couple to kind of, if they find themselves arguing way more than usual?
Yeah. Well, with couples who are arguing within the house, if the kids are, of course, listening, and even if you think they're not, they are, they know what's going on. And
if they have kids,
and kids tend to be egocentric, which means the whole, you know, the world is about me, everything is about me, and then gradually children outgrow that. But the unfortunate thing, if children hear the parents arguing, they're going to make that about them too, and think, well, this is my fault that the kids are, or that my parents are arguing. So this is something we really, really want to avoid. With couples that I've worked with over the years who really go at it, I have said to them, okay, you know what? You can continue arguing, but you can't do it out loud. You can, you can email each other with all your anger, and then the other person will respond with an email of their anger. So it's not spoken. With some folks, I have said, hey, just get a pad of paper, you know, if you don't want to use the computer, and write down your anger at your spouse. give it to your spouse. They will respond with their pad of paper, giving it then to the other spouse. And so those are a couple of ideas. Now, the good thing about both of those ideas is that when we're writing, we tend to edit ourselves. When we're yelling or, you know, we don't edit ourselves. It's just like, ugh, whatever comes out.
I guess as long as we're not tweeting to each other.
Yeah. So that's one thing I do recommend for parents who are fighting or just having a dispute of some kind.
I know a couple that you know, were having some difficulty, and they did have children, although I imagine it worked without children too, but they would actually had a, you know, they put the timeout sign, you know, with the two hands, you know, the T, and that they had an agreement that if they were arguing, no matter, if one of them held up that timeout sign, no matter what, the argument had to stop right there and you'd be put off maybe to another time. But mm-hmm. you know, maybe they realized, oh my gosh, we do have children around, or this is just getting way too heated. I need yeah. a break from this. And so if one of them held up that timeout sign, they agreed they would both just be quiet for a bit.
Yes, that is really an excellent idea. And I would say a couple of things about timeout. Make an agreement with each other that, all right, one of you says time out, and so it ceases. The conversation stops. Make sure that they're both going to observe that, because what I have found in my counseling over the years is time out is called, and so one person wants quiet, and the other person just can't let it go, you know, just, I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to make you talk. So obviously you can't do that. Now, the other thing about timeout is have an agreement ahead of time that you will come back to the issue later. And maybe you're going to designate a time where you're going to come back to the conversation later. And really work on sitting down and talking quietly to each other, because it makes people mad if it feels like, oh, the conversation is just dropped and we're never going to have this conversation. Well, yes, you're going to have the conversation, but you're going to have it at a later time when you both calm down. And don't do, you know, if it's late at night or close to bedtime, postpone it until the next day to help that timeout be effective.
So I'm just thinking about, you know, Jesus has that saying about if your house is full of demons, basically sweep, you know, get it. Somebody takes them out, sweeps it in order. And then the demon comes back and says, oh, wow, there's lots of room in this house. Now let's come and invite some friends back. And mm-hmm. the point being that, you know, you can kind of work to reduce anger and hostility and all this mess. But if you're just taking away those things and you're not filling that house with something positive, that it can actually mm-hmm. be worse than before. And so I'm just wondering about those couples that maybe they're having some difficulty. Maybe they haven't normally had difficulties, but now they are. And oh, there's some relationship strengthening things besides kind of the tension reducing things that they can do.
Yeah. I think that's an important question. In terms of relationship building, do make time for each other on a daily basis. And if you do have children, away from the kids. And the marital researchers suggest that this time doesn't need to be longer than 20 minutes. And it's a check-in time. So you're simply saying, without obviously TVs and phones involved. How are you doing today? Really tell me how you're doing, what you're feeling, and what you're thinking. And you exchange that conversation. Then you go on to certainly express your love for one another. There's, you know, plenty of hugs and kisses that are important every single day. And then continuing the conversation with what are your plans today? What's happening later on in the week for you? And then exchanging that information. Perhaps ending with a prayer. I always suggested that to my Christian clients. End with a prayer, because I think that just really draws people closer. And again, 20 minutes is all it takes.
Good advice. Yeah, I've heard people speculating there might be a lot of quarantine babies also.
That certainly is possible.
For each other. Yeah. So let's turn to the kids. I'm just thinking about a family that a couple that may have a couple teenagers in the house, and teens. I remember those teenage years. They're rough anyway. They're socially awkward anyway. And now this is just kind of bringing out all the kind of the worst of it. What advice would you have for parents who are kind of at the end of the ropes?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about it this morning. If you've got a couple of teenagers that are really, yelling at each other, hollering at each other, you can say to those two, hey, take it outside. Take it outside. Because really, it's not okay for the rest of the family to have to listen to those fights. Now, the exception is if your teens are going at it physically. Obviously, you can't send them outside to punch and jump on each other. In that kind of a case, you would have to use the timeout with your teens and just say, you go to your room and you go to your room. And you want your teens to, you want to say, this is a timeout. And you want to let your kids stay in their respective rooms for at least 30 minutes. Because during that time, they need to relax. They need to calm down. Maybe they're going to listen to music, something like that. That's what you're going to impose. And if the 30 minutes is up and the teens come out and they go at it again, well, you know what? Hey, you get another timeout. And so in your room, I guess 30 minutes wasn't long enough. And now you're going to spend another 30 minutes in your room. And eventually, maybe they'll fall asleep if you're lucky. But something like that, because again, they don't have a right to do that kind of thing, hollering and screaming in the house with other family members there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It reminded me of when our two girls were young. They weren't teenagers at that time, but they would kind of get in squabbles, and we would actually put them in the bathroom together, and we said they could not come out until they were getting along, and they would kind of put our ear to the door, and you'd kind of hear this. Like this, and silence, just stone cold silence. And then at some point, though, there'd be this like that, and the other one, and then they'd just bust out laughing eventually, and we knew they could come out. Although I will admit that in their 20s, they admitted to us that they kind of figured out what we were doing. So sometimes they would intentionally just laugh, even though they're still mad at each other. But it stopped the arguing, though. So hey,
yeah.
And they're best friends to this day. So
yeah. It doesn't take long for kids to figure out what's going on.
That's right. So how about, are there resources in the community that people can turn to, whether it be, I mean, this is both a local and a national podcast, are there resources you might turn to people to as well if they're just kind of just nothing to work in, they just need some extra help?
Yes, well, I can speak to that in terms of counseling. My counseling practice is doing all telehealth.
Telehealth?
And telehealth, which means the therapist is calling them on the phone for a counseling session, or some other therapists are using Skype.
Mm-hmm.
But we are continuing, my practice is continuing to serve clients, but in a different way. And this is a protection for everybody. We have three people who staff our front office. It is a protection for them. It is a protection for our clients and, of course, a protection for the therapist. So we have, again, nobody physically coming into the office at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what other practices are doing, but I imagine that they're doing the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. If they're wanting to find a therapist, they maybe never done this before. Are there ways they can kind of ferret out what kind of therapist they can, you know, or who might be a good one? Or
yeah. You know. Yeah, absolutely. Go Google Psychology Today, and you know, therapists are registered with Psychology Today all over the country, and you will see a picture and a profile of nearly every therapist, along with their specialties. And that's absolutely the best way to do that.
Okay.
I've had many clients find me on Psychology Today, and some of them when they write about themselves, may say, I'm comfortable with I'm comfortable with Christian counseling. Some won't.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they'll list their specialties: eating disorder, working with children, working with teens, and so forth. So that is the very best way to find a therapist right for you.
Great. I can think of one other way off the top of my head, only because of my own vocation. That is if a person is a member of a church or a synagogue or a mosque or other faith organization, quite oftentimes the clergy have people that they have, you know, that they know also have been recommended to them, or they've maybe even been to themselves, but they typically have a referral list of people that they know and they trust. And also we frequently receive people ourselves as clergy and can do counseling as well.
Yeah. And within our church, of course, we have Stephen ministers.
Yeah, a lot of churches do, yeah.
Yeah, I am currently in training to become a Stephen minister, but our training has been postponed, but we'll get back to it.
Yeah, that's a fantastic program, and other churches and other faith-based organizations have developed other, you know, models too. They may not call it Stephen Ministry. I know my last congregation called it Called to Care, but these people are not like psychological counselors. Just for the listener, they're people are just meant to basically come alongside you and be an extra friend and listening ear in that time. So they may not, they're not charged to fix your problems for you. They're just there to be a companion through them and are very well trained in the art of listening and accompanying through difficult times. We, in our congregation, we have, I think over the time we've had about 200 people who have been trained as Stephen ministers. It's quite an extraordinary crowd of people. We're actually working at trying to create, we had a request, since we're on the Tri-Faith Commons, the Temple Israel, the synagogue, had actually asked if they could sit in on some of our, the Stephen ministry trainings, because they didn't have something like that in their community. And that has led to this big project now to try to make a multi-faith Stephen ministry program, where we're not trying to erase the faith lines. We're trying to make the core material accessible to each faith and be able to put in the language of each of the faiths. And pretty exciting development, the Tri-Faith Initiative is working on that.
Yeah.
Well, Linda, thank you so much for taking some time to help explore this kind of difficult territory. I mean, this is only the third time in human history that we've experienced a global pandemic. And so we're all kind of making our way through in the dark a little bit. But even though it's dark, there are certainly some time-honored and perennial traditions and ways of meeting stress that are common to all eras. And thank you for lifting up some of that perennial wisdom.
Thank you very much, Eric. I've enjoyed speaking with you, and as I mentioned to you yesterday, I'm sure looking forward to the day when church is open.
Me too. All right. Take care.
Okay. You too. Bye.
Converging Paths podcast is brought to you by Darkwood Brew, who currently is giving away Darkwood Brew to the world. That's the world's largest single-source collection of progressive Christian educational resources, online, streaming, downloadable. They're making it available for 60 days for free. Now, there's normally a pretty substantial subscription cost to subscribe to Darkwood Brew, but during this pandemic, they want to just kind of, well, privilege helping people, a lot of people, over making a little money. So go to darkwoodbrew.org and get your free subscription now. Now let's bring in Nomalee Brennett to play us out with Dark Wood.
Stumbled upon